You are listening to the 1440 podcast. 1440 is the youth ministry of Eagle Mountain Church in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information and for more resources, visit 1440.com.
Father, I believe that you are here because your word says that you inhabit the praises of your people. So God, I thank you that you don't inhabit our instrument playing, although that can be a form of praise. And you don't inhabit, Father, our song singing, although that can be a form of praise. But Father, your word says that you are looking for worshipers who will worship you in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, I thank you that you hear worship and you respond with your presence. God, I thank you that you hear worship and you respond, God, with your presence. And so, Father, right now we say that we will not be captivated by performances, nor will we be drawn to performers. But God, that we will set a standard of worship and a standard of praise. We will uphold a banner of worship and uphold a banner of praise. Of praise that comes from the depth of us first. God, before we ever hear a song, there is a breaking up of the fallow ground inside of us. And the fountains of the deep spring forth, and they bring you glory. They bring you honor. They say, God, that you are worthy of all glory, all honor, all worship, and all praise. And it starts, Father, from your people up. Father, I declare that 1440 is not a place where we have to be entertained into the mood of worship. But God, when we come in with an attitude of worship from the beginning. God, I thank you that you show us in your word that worship and praise will conquer and thwart the attempts of the enemy to steal, kill, and destroy. Father, I thank you that the children of Jericho, that they conquered the city of Jericho, not with weapons, and they didn't conquer, God, with strategic innovation, but God, they conquered with a lifted voice of praise and worship. They held up a standard of worship. Father, I thank you that when your children went into battle, you said, send Judah first. Judah means worship. Judah means praise. Father, I thank you that our worship and our praise in advance in faith will conquer that which you have sent us to conquer. Okay. Now, God, we turn our eye to the word. We prepare our hearts for the word. Father, I thank you that everything that could hinder this word from going forth has been toppled and brought to nothing in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, go find your Bible. While you're going back to your seat, I want you to understand this. For the next little while, until the Lord just tells me that we're done with it, we are going to nullify electronic versions of the Bible. There are way too many people with their phone out. Now, normally in normal meetings, that don't bother me. Like if we were having a business meeting, it wouldn't bother me that you had your phone out because you could be doing something innovative like researching or taking notes and making sure that they are able to be accessed across your devices. But in here, I need you to be on your device, I need you to get this. So if you brought your Bible in electronic form, you're not in trouble, raise your hand. These gentlemen will bring you a real, authentic paper Bible. I know that that's strange to you. I realize that that's weird. That's what? They still print them? But we will use these paper Bibles. The reason we're going to use these paper Bibles is because I need your attention on the word in both forms, spoken and written. I do not need you communicating via text message. I do not need you on social media, because this is way too important for you not to get all of it. Amen?
Amen.
Some of y'all may not like that. That's okay. That is all right. Now, some of you may be like, what if you run out of Bibles? I got lots of them. I got Bibles coming out of my ears. Praise God. Next thing is this. As Kelsey announced earlier, we are looking for summer interns. Summer interns to work in ministry. If you are called to ministry and you ain't got, you can have other things going on during the summer, but if you're called to ministry, this is an opportunity for us to pour into you through the summer, and it's also an opportunity for you to serve your youth group. Summer interns are going to get to see some stuff that everybody else don't get to see. They're going to get to do some stuff everybody else don't get to do. And I can promise you this, by the time the internship is done, you will have a much better understanding of how 1440 runs and operates, not just 1440, but the church at large. So if you've ever wondered, Pastor John preach on Wednesday, but what else does he do? Come be an intern, find out. Thing number three is this. A very good, a friend of mine who I hope becomes a very good friend of mine, who is really impressive to me, is here tonight. And so I want you to give a very warm welcome to Pastor Johannes from India. Praise God. Pastor, one of the reasons why I asked them to give you a microphone is so that you can tell them what part of India you're from, because I'm almost certain that I'm going to mess it up. So what part of India is it?
I am from Andhra Pradesh state. That's.
Somebody want to try that? Anybody want to give that a go? Okay, say it again.
Andhra Pradesh.
Andhra Pradesh.
Okay. You're right.
So say that on the count of three. Andhra Pradesh.
Yes, sir.
Say that on the count of three. One, two, three.
Andhra Pradesh.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, it's going to be right tonight. Praise God.
Praise God.
And what is the name of the church there?
My church?
Yes, sir.
It's Faith Church.
Faith Church.
Yes.
That's a good name.
It's a Pentecostal.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And you have two churches, is that correct? So there's one in Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah, two are in Andhra Pradesh.
Two are in Andhra Pradesh.
Yeah.
Okay. They're just, how far apart are they?
100 kilometers.
Somebody translate that to miles.
To miles.
Anybody?
Maybe 80 miles.
Praise God.
70.
So an hour away. An hour, yeah. About an hour apart?
One and a half hours.
Amazing. We want to join with you in prayer. And so we want to stand with you for the work that's going on there in India. And one of the things that I think that makes this so cool is I've been telling you for a very long time that we are an international church, which means we are an international youth group.
Amen.
So it's always really cool for you to see someone who is from another country where there are other people who are your age. You see people this age who love God, who are full of the Holy Ghost, and are doing a work there where people need to hear the gospel. And it's important that you connect with those moves of God, because this thing is bigger than you. Amen? So stand on your feet. Pastor, can we pray for you?
Please, sir.
Absolutely. Can I? Let me get, if you feel a call on your life to specifically India, let me get you to come up here. And I'm going to pray, and I want you guys to just come over here and lay your hand on Pastor. Oh, my bad. I almost thought I was in the wrong youth group. Hallelujah. Connect with your faith, young people. Connect with your faith. Bless God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for Pastor Johannes. Father, we thank you for the word that is going forth there in India. Father, we thank you that people are coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ through the work that's happening at Faith Church in India. Father, I thank you that darkness is being removed. Father, I thank you that the lies of the enemy are being toppled and destroyed and brought to nothing right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you that there are dedicated people coming into his path that are to help with the ministry, that are to help build him up, that are to help with the advancing of the word there at both locations of his church. And Father, we say right now that we connect our faith with his faith, and that India is a place where God is glorified. The glory of God is rising on India right now in the name of Jesus. Father, we say that those people in India, those who are citizens of India, those who are visitors of India, right now, when they walk among the streets of their town and when they land in the airports, they sense the glory of God in that country. We claim it for Jesus Christ right now in the name of Jesus. The predominant religion in India is Christianity right now in the name of Jesus. We say, Father, that every force of darkness, we command you to take your hands off of that nation. Take your hands off of the government. Take your hands off of the economy, off of the politics. Take your hand off the military. Take your hand off of that nation right now in the name of Jesus. We call to the youth of India. We say, wake up. We say, wake up. We say, wake up right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, we declare the love of God from coast to coast in that country. Right now, Father, we say that his church has every provision, every monetary resource, every technological resource necessary to do an excellent work there at spreading the gospel. We say, Father, young people are coming to that church by droves, Father. By droves, Father. By droves. Father, people are being snatched out of the hand of corruption and coming to know the power of Jesus Christ. We call revival right now in India. We say right now there's revival in India. We thank you for it. We give you glory. And now, Father, we say that Pastor Johannes' mouth is anointed to speak the word of God.
Amen. 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 Amen.
Father, we say that he has revelation.
Amen. I receive in Jesus' name.
That the Holy Spirit is speaking to him, bringing about revelation. And that the word of God that is proclaimed from his pulpit will reach more than just the people who are sitting listening to the word. But Father, that word will be multiplied and sent out. And right now we stand on your word, God, that it will accomplish that which it is sent to accomplish in every arena.
Jesus.
Father, we say that every person working under his leadership, that they receive vision and revelation, and that they run with that vision. According to your word, Father, the vision right now is being made plain so those who read it can run with it. And God, they are running, Father. They are running right now. They are running. They're running toward Jesus. They're running toward the love of Jesus. They hear the word of faith. They hear the word of love. And they are running toward that word right now in the name of Jesus. We say, Father, that the population of India is hungry for the word of God. And Father, we declare that through Faith Church and those who would lock arms with this ministry, that they are being fed, that they are being fed and sustained the uncompromised word of God. Now, Father, we thank you and we give you praise for every salvation, every resource, and the advancement of the kingdom of God in India. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Thank you so much for being here, Pastor. We love you. If anyone has questions about ministry in India or what's going on there in India or what he's seeing at his church, he will be here in the back right after church is over with. You go connect with him. Go see him. Even if you're not called to India, but you feel like you need to pray for the young people in India, this man ought to be overrun with folks after the service is over with to find out what you can pray for and how you can go to war on his behalf. Amen?
Amen.
All right, grab your Bible. Thank you so much, Pastor. Yeah, you can have that. Praise God. Doors are opening, young people. Doors are opening. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. I got to get my bearings about me. This is a smaller podium. The other one is out on repair, but it will be back. Praise the Lord. And when it comes back, it won't cut people. Tonight, I want to talk to you about the aftermath of honor. The aftermath of honor. We are 4 weeks from Southwest Believers Convention. 4 weeks from the Southwest Believers Convention. And we have a mandate from our leadership, which has come down from God. And the mandate is this: get ready. Get ready. This convention will be unlike any other convention that you've ever been to. Get ready. Some of you will say stuff like, how can you say that this one's going to be different than any other? Because your degree of readiness is different. Understand that God doesn't do anything when you're not ready to receive it. Because number one, God doesn't waste his power, his anointing, and his blessing. And number two, if he did it and you weren't ready to receive it, it would be abusive to you. And so he conditions his people before the outpouring. So if you ever have any question about, well, why is God not pouring out his spirit in increasing measure? Look at you. He don't change. Look at you and look at the surroundings. Are you truly ready for a great move of God? And I believe that there are people who are truly ready for a great move of God. And God is faithful. Amen. And he is going to do what he said he's going to do. And since you have positioned yourself in readiness and are positioning yourself with readiness, he has found a people that he can work through. Let that sink in. Some of it may be sobering. I mean, I'm not asking you to give me a whole lot of energy. But if that's you, then you need to get ready.
Yeah.
Sharpen yourself. Shake yourself and get ready for this move of God. Now, here's the deal. Getting ready means to properly position ourselves to walk in a place of victory and to start every battle from the place and perspective of victory, which means that we don't go in with a defeated mentality. You cannot give what you don't have. So you cannot minister victory if you're walking in a place of defeat. The only way you minister victory to people who need a revelation of God's victory is that you have obtained and maintained victory. Now, I realize some of y'all may be mad at me still from last week. I get it. I understand. I want to talk for just a second about that. Last week, we talked about what it means to honor. And that starts at home. Now, it's been 7 days, baby, 7 days. And we've gotten through it. Jesus, if you didn't get that message, you weren't here last week, we have it up on podcast right now. I'm working on the video of it. You need to go get it.
Yeah.
And I know some of y'all are like, I don't want to watch that again. Watch it. Get that down in your spirit. Let it get past your flesh. It don't hurt your spirit. Your spirit's hungry for it. It's your flesh that's a little hurt by it. Somebody's like, that hurt my pride. Well, your pride is in your flesh.
Come on.
I don't want to do that. Well, your want to is in your flesh.
Yeah, right.
Let it get in your spirit. Here's what happened. Some of you listened to it. Some of you listened. I've heard testimony after testimony about how much change there has been at home with students and their parents. I'm so serious. Mamas came to me on Sunday and they've been coming to me all week going, what did you do? What did you do? It's like, I didn't do anything. I thought I was in trouble at first. I responded with the Karate Kid. Back up off me, lady. Got to get my crane. Get my crane on. My kid has been different. Different. She said, yes, ma'am. What did you do? What did you do? Do you sell that? Can you bottle that? And I'm wishing I could. I'm like, heck yeah. No, I can't, for real. Some of you listened and it's made a difference at your house. Listen, let's make that permanent.
Yes.
Let's make that permanent. God does not come with temporary change.
Yeah.
When God moves you, he moves you from glory to glory. He doesn't move you to a temporary glory to regress you back to the old way of being. He progresses you and promotes you into a place. And then he says, respond to the promotion by acting like you've been promoted. So you can't go to a job, get promoted to a higher level, but still function like you were in the lower level.
That's right.
That's how you get fired.
Yeah.
You will remove yourself from being used in this move of God. What you need to do is receive your promotion. Some of you need to receive a large measure of forgiveness from what you used to be. Just say, thank you, Lord, I receive my forgiveness. And I can, and then you move on. You don't need to be beat over the head 17 times with that message. The reason I'm telling you to go back and listen to it again is so that it can become all of who you are. So when you listen to that message and you go, amen, preach it. Then you know that you are it. But it's hard to amen something that is talking about you. That's how you can tell. You can just tell. You can tell the people like, amen, hallelujah, preach, brother. I'm like, all right, they might be all right. Everybody else is like, you might have a problem. Some of you didn't listen. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Don't harden your heart. This is to help you, not to hurt you. This is to grow you up. This is to get you ready. This is to manifest made for war. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 7 and 8 says this: therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness. Don't say in yourself, I am not going to respond. That will destroy you. Being teachable, being pliable will allow you to grow in God. Being stoic and stone-hearted will, by your own action, cause you to fall. It's not because God wants you to fail. It'll be because you took on a posture that refused to be moved. I read that definition of what it means to be to obey, and it said control. And some of y'all were like, ain't nobody gonna control me. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch it. Watch. Yes, baby, if you weren't here, the review is this: the biblical definition of obey is to control, to be controlled by. You take on the attitude, ain't nobody gonna control me. My mama can't control me. My daddy can't control me. Don't nobody control me but God. Baby, God ain't controlling you. Because it's God-given authority in your parents' mouth that is to control you. All right, I'm not gonna re-preach the same sermon. The remainder of honor. Look at Ephesians chapter 6. Starting at verse 5 says this: bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart, to as to Christ. As to who?
Christ.
As to who?
Christ.
As to who?
Christ.
So who are you doing it for?
Christ.
That's what I want to make sure we get that right. Not with eye service. This is one of my favorite portions of scripture. Not with eye service as man pleasers. Say man pleasers. But as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. I'm going to tell you right now that when I got delivered from man-pleasing, it was the most liberating move of the Holy Ghost I've ever experienced in my life. Man-pleasing is at the root of a lot of misbehavior. I'm going to do it my way. And I'm going to do it my way because everybody else does it this way. I'm going to tell you right now, if you get around your friends and you can't control who you are when you're around them because they're controlling who you are when you're around them, you're operating from a place of man-pleasing. Because you want to just be a fit-in. You want to be a chameleon. You don't want anybody to feel intimidated by the fact that you know that you ought to be operating from a holy standard. You know it. The bad part about it is some of them know it too. But you become enabled and an enabler. Not as man pleasers, but as to Christ. Not with eye service or as man pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from where? Where? Somebody say that. Somebody who's looking at their Bible like they're supposed to be. From where? From the heart. So look. So check this out. It does. Remember, I told you that obedience is not honor, but obedience is a reflex of honor. Remember that? Your attitude counts. So when you do something, doing it just with your hands is not good enough. The command is to do it from your heart. Now, this is in every sense of authority. I love Romans 13. I'm just going to reference it. You can go home and read it yourself. But I love the fact that Romans 13 verse 8 teaches, owe no man nothing except to love him. I think it's, is it verse 8? I believe it's verse 8, yeah. Owe no man nothing but to love him. The verses right before that, you know what it talks about? Honoring authority. It says, pay to whom ever is due what is due. Taxes to those who are due taxes. Money to those who are due money. Honor to those who are due honor. And owe no man nothing except to love him. Which means that the only debt that you need to be operating in is a debt of love. But when someone deserves honor and you don't give them honor, then you are in debt where honor is concerned. Now, please, somebody, get this. Get this. Honor is due certain people by virtue of their service and position. So you don't get to choose whether or not they're qualified. Some of you don't like the president. Now, I've already told you, I'm not going to tell you what flavor of political whatever I subscribe to. Not going to tell you. But I'm going to tell you this, and I hope the camera gets, I want all of you in TV land to hear this. You may not like Obama, but he's due your honor. You may not would have voted for them, then save that to November. When it's your turn to make the decision, then exercise your right to vote. But until then, he's due your honor, and the Bible commands that you pray for him. You may not like your teacher. But he or she is due your honor. And if you operate in a debt of honor, if you operate from a position where you always owe honor, but you never give honor, then you have not properly positioned yourself to be blessed. And you will have, by operation of your own physical response, remove yourself from the move of God. I can't drive this home enough. You don't have to earn righteousness, which means you've already been called, qualified to be in the move of God. But you can take yourself out of that place by choosing not to manifest what you've already been called. So if you've been called righteous, and the righteous, the right thing to do is what the word says, is to honor, and you need to pay honor to those who are due honor, and you don't operate there, then you will remove yourself from the place of blessing. I didn't make it up. That's what the word says. Just saying. All right, look at the rest of this. With goodwill. There's your attitude again. From the heart, with goodwill. Doing service. There's your attitude again. As to the Lord. Would you ever tell God to shut up?
No.
Then you shouldn't say it to your mama, your teacher, your pastor, anybody who is in authority over you. You should never, it should never come out of your mouth.
That's right.
I told you last week, some of y'all need to go back and meet some grandmas from about 35, 40 years ago.
Yes.
If I had ever fixed my mouth to say the word shut up to my grandmother, I'd have got slapped. Just my, all my fronts would have been gone.
Yes.
Somebody testify. Hello. Yeah, 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 yeah. You ain't had a whooping until somebody done whooped the paws in you. I think I've said this before, haven't I?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Haven't I said this before? Some of y'all don't know what getting the paws knocked in you is. That's when somebody hits you, you go, ah! Ah! It just pauses everything inside of you. There needs to be a return to the pause. Bless God. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord. So I told you, I didn't make this up. How you position yourself will determine your reaping of your blessing. Whether he is slave or free, whether you're the boss or not. And you masters do the same to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven and there is no partiality in him. Now, I'm just real talk. Some parents need to get a hold of that scripture right there. But don't you dare amen. Just let me do my job. I can say that. You can't. Because that's not your place. A lot of this comes from just knowing your place. Praise God. All right, we're going to carry on. Verse 10 and verse 11. I want to camp out here for just a second. I want to read them. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. All the against I'm going to handle next week. But check verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, some of y'all may be looking at me like he's standing up there and got half a suit on. Don't he know this is a youth service? Well, I wanted to properly position myself for the night. We have a guest speaker, Jesse Malkery, over in main service. And Pastor George sent out a communication. He said, make sure that you dress up a little bit tonight to honor him. Is he coming to 1440? No. So I could have made the argument that that doesn't apply to me. Because he ain't going to be in 1440 and I'm a youth pastor. Don't they know I should be able to wear jeans? That's what youth wear. But the Lord stopped me. The Lord said, uh-uh. Properly position yourself. Amen. Pastor George is my leader. He's my authority. The man said, dress up. So I'm going to dress up. See, a rebellious heart will try to look for the caveat. A rebellious heart will try to look for the exception. How can I get out of it? An honoring heart will try to trip, will absolutely trip over themselves trying to get to the place of honor. You'll run so fast toward the place of honor that you absolutely smoke dishonor. That's why the word of God says avoid the appearance of evil. Like even if what you're doing is not necessarily wrong, but it looks wrong, avoid it. It's not necessary. So just so that I can wear jeans and a t-shirt and feel comfortable, I could have said I'm a youth pastor. And this don't apply to me, but I'm not going to tell you to do anything that I'm not ready to do myself. We're taking honor to a whole nother level. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Praise God. All right, here we go. Let's go back and catch these scriptures. You're going to love this. I'm going to try not to yell at you much, but we're going to. I cannot promise you anything. Verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. That is a command. If you are taking notes, write down, that is a command. The command is to be strong. Why does that make a difference? Well, it's different if I suggest that you be strong. Hey, you may want to be strong. But when I command you to be strong, there is no option B. So when the military goes into war, the command is to stand and fight. There is no, well, maybe if I don't feel like it tomorrow morning, I wake up with a headache, then I'm not going to be able to go out there to the battle line. They just going to have to understand. And it's not, well, you know, this morning, it just got to me. I couldn't take it. It just got to me. The command is to start from a position of victory. In everything. So your attitude should always be victorious from the beginning. I don't care if everything is going terrible. You should never complain about the terrible. You should absolutely live in the place that says that God conquered it. And since he conquered it, all I have to do is maintain what he's already obtained. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Now look at what it means. Be strong or be empowered. The word there is in dunamo, which means to be strengthened, enabled, to acquire strength, or to give power. The command is to be, which means that you choose whether or not you are strong. But choosing means that you choose whether you say yes or no to a direct order. Why do you have to start by getting honor right? You've got to start from a place that will allow you to respond to an order, to a command with a yes, sir attitude. If you're going to fight this war, if you're going to be made for war, you've got to take on a soldier mentality. So even when the enemy makes your flesh feel weak, you say that the command is to be strong. I'm not asking you to have self-esteem. I'm telling you to be strong.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to believe in yourself. I'm telling you to be strong. Yeah. I'm not asking you to make sure that all of your friends love you and that you have a great social life. The command is just to be strong. I'm not telling you that every day is going to be great with your parents and they're going to always say stuff that you like to hear. The command is simply to be strong.
Yeah.
And you choose whether or not you are strong. We got way too many young people walking around like they're victims. Way too many young people walking around like, I just can't help it. Or don't they know how that makes me feel? Or that's just terrible. You know, as a youth pastor, I know y'all gonna find this hard to believe. But I have been told on several occasions that I'm just too harsh and mean. I've been told that. I know that shocks you. But I'm going to tell you right now that the command is to be strong.
Yeah.
So sometimes you need to hear it strong.
Yeah.
You know what I've learned over the course of my ministry? Baby, it's going to be all right. God loves you. And he gonna take care of it. I know you're crying right now. Just take some time. Take 2 minutes and cry it out. Just go ahead and cry it out. It's okay. Just cry it out. That don't work. It does not work. What works is stand up. Pull up your britches. Realize that you're the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And you've already defeated this by virtue of who you are and who you serve. Your God's hand is not short and he's not slack, as some men count slackness, is what the word says. But he's already overcome it. And you're being defeated not because you are defeated, but because you're operating from a place of defeat. All you got to do is choose to stand up and be strong. And as soon as your faith gets to a place of strength, he will meet your faith with a manifestation of his power, and he will conquer it. That works. That works. That works. We're not trying to be, you're not in therapy. I make a terrible therapist. Just terrible. But when you realize who you are in God, when you realize all of who you are in God, then Pastor John doesn't have to be there at 2 o'clock in the morning going, baby, it's going to be okay. You know who you are. So what wells up inside of you is not me coddling you and us engaging in sin management. What wells up inside of you is a victory mentality. Because this is battle. When I was doing my study for this, this paragraph just jumped out and thumped me in the forehead. Says this, in light of the seriousness of this warfare, the Christian cannot be self-reliant. Be strong comes from the present passive verb indicating a command to be strong in the Lord and in the sphere of the Lord, or to participate in the strength that is inherent in Him. So you've got to get out of you. And get in Him.
Yeah, that's good.
That's why it's a command. Your choice is to stay in you because you are comfortable. But the command is to get out of you, stop doing what you want to do, and get into Him. It is present, indicating the necessity of a continuous dependence upon Him. It is also passive, showing that the strength must come from outside the believer, for without God's help, he would never make it. Be strong means to come from a place that says that I can't do it, but he can. Failure to respond to the command, you're not saying, I'm so weak, so I can't be strong. What you're saying is, I'm weak and God is weak. Is he who he says he is? Is he who he says he is? I promise you, Faith Tomy is going to like be saying that to her children when she's 45. She probably hears it from me more than anybody. Is he who he says he is? Is he who he says he is? Is he who he says? If he's who he says he is, then operate like he's who he says he is. Not like who you are, but you are his righteousness. And if he called you righteous, his voice trumps yours even when you don't think you're righteous. Got it? Praise God. Here we go. All right, so the command is to be strong. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand means to stand firm, place firmly, establish, set, or confirm. It can also mean to be appointed. Which means this. It denotes the endurance of that which is standing. It means that you are able to not just stand one time, but you're able to establish and be appointed in the place where you're standing forever.
Yeah.
I will never be moved. It's a stick-to-itiveness. It's a setting yourself in a place of being strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. When you understand that it's not your might, but it's His might, then you can't be moved from it.
That's right.
Now, I want you to notice something. It says, stand there. And then it says, to withstand, take on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That withstand does not mean the same thing. It means to oppose or to resist. So you're standing so that you can resist the devil. Right? You got this? Stay with me, young person. This is going to change your life. But more importantly, it's going to change somebody else's life. When you get to Southwest Believers Convention, you're going to walk in with an understanding that you can overcome any issue in the room. Some of you, I realize some of y'all might be checking out. This ain't what you want to hear. But when you get there and you walk into that atmosphere, what you're going to walk into is a room full of people from all over the nation who may not have the depth of faith that you have. So the one who's thinking about committing suicide, you're going to be able to not only stand in the gap for them, but you're going to be able to overcome the atmosphere on their behalf. It's called intercession. And you can intercede right now, not even knowing who they are, by realizing who you are. Realizing the authority that you have. Realizing who you... I'm gonna let you in on a youth pastor secret. There is nothing inherent in me that allows me to solve your problem. Come here. Come here. But when you come to me and you say, Pastor John, I've got a problem. The only thing that I do, it's not like I go, excuse me for a second. Oh, you have a problem. No. No, I don't just wake up in the morning going, I wonder who is going to come to me today. Will it be you? No. The only thing I do is this. And those of you who've come to me with this issue, with issues, any issue, will be able to testify. Now, you don't have to like raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to tell everybody about your issue. But the only thing I do is this. You are a child of God. And I want you to know who you are, because this thing that you're dealing with is small compared to the power that resides in you. And so all I've got to do to overcome whatever this person, whoever he represents, I'm not saying he got issues, but to overcome whatever this person is dealing with, is to all I got to do is to step into a place where I start to manifest his righteousness on his behalf. I become the righteousness of God. I've got to believe that I am the righteousness of God. It's not that me, Pastor John, is powerful. It's the God that's living inside of me that's powerful. But guess what? You got the same God living in you. And so when if he comes to me and says, I'm just going through a hard time, I go, man, I know, me too. It's rough out there in them streets, man. It's rough. No. No, but I'm going to tell you right now, that's what some people want to hear. Yeah. I'm going through a problem. Yeah, me too. I'm going through a problem too. Are you depressed? Yeah, I'm depressed. Are you depressed? Yeah, I'm depressed. If we both broke, how we ever going to get anywhere? One of us going to have to start having something. Right? So when you walk into Southwest Believers Convention and you ain't even got it, people don't have to come up to you and share their issue, but you walk in, you sit down next to somebody who's going through and you're manifesting the righteousness of God. Guess what happens? Your righteousness, the righteousness that you have on, begins to swallow up this person. You see how my jacket's bigger than his? Guess what? Your God is bigger than theirs. He would never wear this on a regular basis. Guess what? The person you're sitting next to may never worship God the way they're going to worship during Southwest on a regular basis. This is way bigger than him. But people need to realize that your God is bigger than them. And if the formula for you to overcome is to get out of yourself, guess what? The formula for him to overcome is to get out of himself. And if I can manifest the righteousness of God simply by sitting in his atmosphere, I overcome his atmosphere. So my worship may lead him to think, man, well, I guess I need to worship. Huh. Jacket feel good, don't it? No. You can have a seat now. Get my jacket back. You look too good in it. This will get you ready. Understanding who you are will get you ready. All right, so just a few more seconds. Stand means to be planted, but watch this. It says again, put on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the devil. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God that you may withstand the evil in the evil day. And having done all to... Amen. Okay, second time that he's mentioned standing, which means we need to really take notice of it, right? Having done all to stand, what's the next verse? Huh. Third time you've been commanded to stand. Third time you've been commanded to stand. You, if the Bible says it once, it's the unadulterated word of God, and you need to take it as the word of God. If the Bible says it twice, you need to take special notice of it. If the Bible says it three or more times, according to the law of multiple mentions, you better make it your lifestyle. The Bible says multiple times, love, 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 love your neighbor, love your enemies, love, love everybody. Just keep loving folks. My bad. I'm sorry. I kicked your bag. I love you. Just keep loving people. Love, 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 which means God wants you to occupy a lifestyle of love. This says stand. And having done all to stand, stand. Which means you need to take a faith stand and operate in a place of faith standing and make your lifestyle a lifestyle of standing. This generation desperately needs somebody to stand. Take a stand. Take a stand. The Greek word there, it says, stand having girded your waist with truth. I'm just going to stop on half of that scripture because the other scripture talks about the righteousness breastplate, and I could be here until noon tomorrow talking about it. But it says, having done all to stand, stand having girded your loins or wrapped truth around you. I used to work with people who were older, senior citizens. And whenever a senior citizen is having trouble walking, come here, Christopher, because I probably can't do this with nobody but Christopher. Come here. Truth be told, I could do it with some other folks, but he's got on a nice belt. When older people are having problems being ambulatory or walking, what they do is they have this thing called a gait belt. It's a belt that they wrap around their waist, right? They wrap it around their waist, and the nurse, after they wrap the belt around their waist, will hold the belt. Come on, come on, Mr. Abrams, it's time for your 9 o'clock tea.
I got this.
So even,
bless his heart.
So, so get this, even No matter where he goes or tries to go, I can control him because I've got his waist, right? It's the center of his gravity. Got it? That makes sense?
I'm not coming up again.
That may have made him feel just a little weird. I walk in love, Chris. I love you. Anyway, so listen. It's around the center of him. And it anchors him. The Bible says, have your waist or your loins girded with truth. We spent Wednesday talking about that the Bible is holy, which means that when it is in competition with another opinion, the Bible is truth. The Word of God says, let God be true and every man a liar. So when you wrap that truth around your waist, no matter where you go and what you do, your steps are always ordered in truth. Yeah. And you're able to stand even when you're weak. Get that. If you don't get anything else, get that. Get that. Because it's not while you're sitting right here that you're going to be tested. It's going to be when you're weak. and you can't stand. But it's when you can't stand that you let God do the standing. You just have to be wrapped with the truth, girded with the truth. You see, you're getting ready for war. And the war is not with people. The war is not with yourself. The war is against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, wickedness in high places that will attempt to knock you down. That is their job. That's what they do. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, they are like the gas station, baby. They're always open. 7-Eleven, always open. But if you have your loins, your waist wrapped with the truth, then no matter what happens, even, that's so good, even if you stumble, you will not fall. What does the word say? Hallelujah. I hear what you're saying. What does the word say? Though he may stumble, he shall not be utterly cast down, for I have upheld him with my right hand. There are going to be some people who need to know how to stand at Southwest. I'm not raising up a bunch of people who are going to go in there and try to be entertained with all the flashy lights and the nice stage and all the cool things that are going to happen. That's cool, and I'm excited about that. I'm really, really excited about it. And it's going to be awesome, and you're going to have a good time. I'm raising up an army of people who's going to walk in there and say, if nobody else has been praying, I've been praying. If nobody else has been believing, I've been believing. If nobody else is going to help people stand, I'm going to help people stand. I am not going to be the victim. I am going to be the manifester of victory. Yes. Yes. Stand up. And we'll get to the rest of this next week. I can't wait to talk about the breastplate of righteousness. What happens when you realize you're righteous? Whoo. You mean tell me I can stand and know that I'm righteous? Well, then let me stand then. Get a Holy Ghost attitude. If you found it hard to stand lately, get up here. I'm not going to explain it. I'm not going to explain it. I'm done trying to persuade you to come to the altar. If you found it hard to stand in any area, get up here.
Thank you for listening to the 1440 podcast. If the Lord has ministered to you in a big way through this time, we want to hear about it. You can email us at testify@1440online.com.